Just quickly review on Kufi Gimel Amud Beis the various answers of the Gemara to reconcile what looks like a stira between two statements of Shmuel. Shmuel, in the cases of Chelev and Nevela, where he cooks it with milk, says Yechayev for Bas B'chalav, which means that the Yisr Bas B'chalav is Chal on top of Chelev on top of Nevela, hence Iser Chalal Iser. But in the case of Shmuel's statement in the name of Rabbi Elazar regarding a Kohen Tameh who eats Truma Tameah, as we discussed at great length yesterday, there seems to be an overlap between two Isurim, and we start with the Iser of a Kohen eating Truma Tameah, which is an Iser Lav HaBamachal essay. And the question is, can we add on top of that Iser the Iser of Tumas Gufo, of a Kohen who is Tameh and he's eating Truma? Again, we had a sort to say that logically, since the true in this case is already Tameo, there's no Iser of Tumas Gufo to eat the true because he's not being Mechal with Kedushas Truma. Okay, we had a long discussion about this yesterday. In any event, the Shita here is that Ein Iser Chal Iser, and he's part of from Misa B'Toras Tumas Gufo, and that's against Shmuel, who holds here in Bas Mechal of Iser Chal Iser. So the Gemara offers the following three answers. The first answer was that even though Shmuel holds as a general rule Iser Chalal Iser, and that's what we saw in the case of Bas B'chol van Chelev and Nevela, the exception to the rule is this case of Truma based on the extra words in the Pasuk Ki Yechalaluhu Umesu Bo Ki Yechalaluhu, which tells me that if the Truma is already Tmeah, then there's no Iser of Tumas Gufo when the Kohen Tameh eats the Truma. The second answer is that Shmuel actually holds Ein Iser Chalal Iser, and the exception to the rule is Basa B'Cholav, and that's derived from the extra ribui of Gedi. And the third answer is Ha Dide Ha Derabe, which means that which Shmuel said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, and we had a discussion yesterday about a tradition that goes through Rabbi Yudan Nasi back to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, that was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But Shmuel himself holds that Iser Chalal Iser, which means, as we discussed, that Lamaskona, the Gemara's final answer would be that Shmuel holds in general Iser Chal Iser, and even in the case of Tomei Shachal Truma Tveya, he'd be Chayv Misa, because the second Iser of Tumas Gufo would be Chal on the Iser of eating Truma Tveya. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that in Kol Tokula Ein Iser Chal Iser, and the Nafkamina would be in the case of Basa Nevela or Chelev that was cooked with Cholav, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would not violate Bas B'Cholav because of this general, the application of the general rule of Ein Iser Chalal Iser. Where Shmuel holds that in general Iser Chalal Iser, and therefore both in the case of Kohen Tameh who eats Truma Tameah, and in the case of Bas B'Cholav on top of Chelev and Nevela, Shmuel holds you get the extra violation because Iser Chalal Iser. But we concluded in the name of the Taras Chaim that it could be that according to this answer, which was the third in the series of three, Shmuel holds that Gedi is the paradigm for Kol HaTar Kula, that Iser Chalal Iser, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would hold that Umesu Boki Chalu, that means the case of a Kohen Tameh who eats Truma Tameah, that becomes the paradigm for Kol HaTar Kula. So Shmuel is going to derive from Gedi and Bas V'Cholav, that in general, as a universal rule in Kol Tar Kula, Yisr Chal Yisr, Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that no, that Umei Subo, which excludes a Chiv Misa for a Kohen Tomei Betumas Gufo Yitz Truma, that becomes the rule, and if we universalize that rule, it means that Ein Yisr Chal Yisr, and Gedi is going to be the exception to the rule. And we pointed out that according to this approach to the Toras Chaim, there's no machlokas, no nafkamina between Shmuel and Rabbi Eliezer neither in Bas V'Cholav nor in Kohen Tomei Shachal Truma Tmei. In those cases, we will say in Bas V'Cholav Yisr Chal Yisr, in the case of Tommy would say any Sechalisa, but the Machlokas and the Afkamina would be in Kol Tar Kula, beyond the confines of those two Isurin. So we got up to Boy Mine, which is on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. We're not all the way on the bottom of the Amud, but we're in the beginning of the wide lines. Boine mine Rav Achadvoy Bar Ami Me Rav Hamavashel Bechalev Gidi Shalohi Nika Mahu. Now what that means is that since the Torah describes Gidi Bechalev Imo, so it means that we need that this Gedi should be able to give Cholav, which means, as we discussed before, that it is a Meinekes. However, what happens in the case of a Gedi that was never a Meinekes? Let's say we shechted this goat before it gave birth, so it never had a Vlad, but it nevertheless has milk. So we know that's included under the possibility of having milk, but it never was meinekes, the milk, because there was never a young that was born during the lifetime of the Gedi. Mahu. And the Gemara reflects on the following suffix. Shall we assume that Chalev Imo means only if the Behema once upon a time in its history, in his biography, it was already milking? In other words, kvar aim, it was already a mother, and therefore was a meinekes, so it had chalev imo. What do we say? No, that since it had the potential of nursing, of giving milk, that's sufficient. So Rav responds, and he says, "Mida itzricha l'Shmuel l'Meimar b'chalev imo v'lo b'chalev zachar." Shmuel derived from the pasuk chalev imo that if in that very unusual, freaky kind of case where they were able to extract milk from a male, that's excluded, and it doesn't have a shem chalev as far as the isa basa b'chalev. And it seems that Shmuel from Chalev Imo is only excluding the case of a Zachar hu delo asi l'chalev. Only Zachar is excluded because it never has the potential of becoming a mother. Biologically, the male cannot give birth to offspring. Aval hai, but in the case of a Gedi, even though it was never actually a Meinekes, because it never gave birth during its lifetime, but came into Balachal Aim, since in the future it would be normally, we can anticipate that it'll become a mother, Asur. So the Diak of Rav is from Shmuel, which itself is very interesting, because Rav and Shmuel, as you know, were contemporaries, and it's kind of interesting that when the question came in front of Rav, he was medayik from the Lashon Shmuel, that Shmuel from Chalev Imo did not exclude a case of a female Gedi that has never given birth, but rather excluded the case of a male Gedi. Obviously then a female would be included under Gedi, under the Isur Basar B'Chalav, despite the fact that it was never befal, it was never actually a Meinekes, but simply Liyasid Lavo, it will be included in Chalev Imo, because it has the, you know, all the possibilities and the potential to not only give birth to young, but also to nurse its young. Now, before we start the new sugya for today, Itmar, I just want to make one comment here on this previous Gemara. I'm a little bit perplexed in the following case. Let's say you had a Gedi, a female Gedi, and this Gedi had some sort of a blemish, some sort of a handicap, a physical handicap, which made it impossible for that Gedi to give birth to the young. Are we going to say that in every case of a Gedi, the potential has to be real, meaning it has to be an actual potential that applies to this particular Gedi? Or are we saying no, that every single female is included under Chalev Imo, that if we can see, that's what I'm confused about here. The Chalev Imo doesn't mean that the milk itself came from the very same behemoth that he's cooking with it. So any piece of meat from any behemoth, if I cook it together with milk that comes from any other behemoth, as long as they're both behemoths, tahoros, etc., as we discussed, then it becomes basar b'chalav. So it's not that I have to extract the milk from this particular gedi and cook the gedi in its own milk. Any milk from any animal, together with any meat from any animal, as long as you have all the conditions that you need to fulfill, that becomes basar b'chalav. But yet the Gemara is saying that in order to qualify as gedi, you need chalev imo, which means the potential for it to give birth. So I was wondering what would be, in a case the animal's not a trefa or anything, but it doesn't have the potential to give birth for whatever reasons. It's, let's say it's organs, the parts of the body like the uterus that are necessary to sustain a fetus are somewhat impaired. If you had such a mitzvah, I'm wondering if that would be included under Gedi.
All
right.
No comments
on
the
Sifta?
No, nothing yet.
Just all the Sifta says is, again, we shechted it before it became an aim, right? That was the case of Chalev Gedi Shaloi Nika. No, it's Loyol Tomiola. So I want to make another point over here. It could be that when we talk about Gedi, we're not talking about a female Gedi. Even a male Gedi is included on the Basar. You know, Basar B'chalav is not limited to the meat of a female animal. We're talking about the milk. The milk has to be the milk of Imo, correct? Which it always is, except for the case of Zohar. But now we have a strange kind of case where we were able to remove the chalav during the life of the mother, but she's not a mother. Now, if she's not a mother, then how were you able to extract the milk? The answer is that the physical, biological gedi, when it's close to the point of giving birth, I don't know exactly how far down the line, it's already producing milk. The labor hasn't happened. And that's what the Gemara is vacillating about. Is that chalav considered chalav? Why? Because we were able to extract the chalav from this gedi, and although it's not yet a imo, but it's asid lavo lechlal ha'em. So again, we didn't shecht the gedi. If I told you before we shechted this gedi and we found milk in it, that's not relevant to us, because that's already chalav shchuta that we discussed. But rather, we're talking about a gedi that's alive and well, walking on four legs, and we removed the chalav before it became an aim. So that, is this called chalav as far as Chalev Imo is concerned, because it's really not the Chalev Eim. 99 case out of 100, when we have access to Chalev, it comes from a Gedi that's given birth, and therefore it's Chalev Imo. But here, in this very rare kind of scenario, you were able to get the milk out of the Gedi before it was actually an Imo. And the Gemara vacillates about that. Is that called Chalev Imo? Because there's no Imo. This Gedi never gave birth. And the Gemara concludes that this is also called Chalev Imo because Liyasid Lama, this Gedi will give birth. Now, my case that I gave you before, where there was some sort of impairment to the biological structure of the animal, such that this Gedi could not possibly give birth to offspring, then I don't think you'd have Cholov. The whole entity, the whole scenario, or Hechitim, so this possibility of vacillating back and forth, what would be the status of the Chalev Gedi in this case, I think would be totally impossible. The reason why you were able to get the Chalev of the Gedi, even though it wasn't an Imo, is because the Gedi was about to give birth, and it already developed Cholov. So this is something we'd have to research, but if I work with the following premise, that if you have a Gedi whose uterus is somehow impaired in the way that it cannot produce young, would such a Gedi have Cholov? Could it produce milk? Even though it doesn't have the biological potential to give birth. If there is such a Metzius, I don't know, I doubt it, but if there is such a Metzius, then I wonder what would be the status of Chalev Imo for a Gedi that could not possibly become an Aim. Okay, let's start the new Sugya for today. We're still really very, very much involved in the principle called Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and we're up to Itmar. So we have five lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Itmar. Hamavashel Chelev B'cholav. So as we discussed in the past, Chelev is Basar, and it's included under the Iser of Basar B'cholav. The only problem is we have to introduce the principle of Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and Shmuel already formulated the halacha that the second Isur, namely Bas B'Cholav, will be Chal on the first Isur of Chelev. So based on that, let's say he received a Hasra not to eat this mixture of cooked milk with chelev. Would he get malchus for basar b'cholav? Certainly, had he been given asra not to eat the chelev, for sure he would get malchus. But in this particular case, they gave him asra for basar b'cholav and not from chelev. So would he get malchus? And on this we have machlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Chad amar loke, the chad amar ain't a loke. So if we take the man who says loke, all we have to do is attach that to Shmuel, and Shmuel says that Isur Chalal Isur. Okay, that Shmuel, you know, Shmuel has the right to his opinion, but not everyone has to accept that. Not everyone has to buy into the sheet of Shmuel that Isur is Chalal Isur. Again, we had another possibility that maybe even if Ein Isur Chalal Isur, but in Basar B'Cholav, the Torah was Mechadish through this extra Yalfusa of Gedi, that Isur is Chalal Isur. But now the Gemara is presenting one other possibility. I don't know if it's Rav Ami or Rav Asi, but one of them held Ein Oloke, that Ein Isur Chalal Isur applies to Basar B'Cholav, and therefore if there was no Asra for Chelev, although there was Asra for Basar B'Cholav, he doesn't get Malkus for the violation of Basar B'Cholav because Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Lema Baha Kamifli. The Gemara suggests that perhaps the Machlokus is about the following. Demandi Omar Loke Kasamar Isur Chalal Isur. Which again either means Shmuel's universal principle of Yisachal Yisr, or in this exceptional case, by virtue of the Alfus of Gidi, in Bas V'Cholav, we're going to say Yisachal Yisr. Man Yomer Ein Eloka Kosomer Ein Yisachal Yisr. Therefore, the Yisr Bas V'Cholav is not going to be Chal on Yisr Chelev. So therefore, even though he had Asrof of Bas V'Cholav, he's not going to get Malkus, because the only time you get Malkus is when you have Asrof of that particular Avera that generates Malkus. And in this particular scenario, the only Avera that would generate Malkus if you hold Ein Yisr Chal Yisr would be Chelev. And he never got Asrof of Chelev. And we're going to see that as this sugya develops, there's going to be a twofold agenda here. There's going to be one agenda to assume, no, everybody has to agree that Ein Yisr Chal Yisr. And then there's going to be another approach that's going to say, no, everybody agrees that Yisr Chal Yisr. So let's go through the two approaches. Lo, the Gemara says no. They're not arguing about the issue of Yisr Chal Yisr. And again, in this particular case, we wonder why, you know, why the Gemara has this agenda. We've already established that Shmuel holds Yisr Chal Yisr. So why are we saying now that Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Ein Yisr Chal Yisr? And furthermore, Rabbi Akiva later on Daf Kuf Tezayin, he actually maintains that Mevashel Chelev B'Cholav the Ochlo Loke. So he's also applying the principle of Yisr Chal Yisr. So it's not just Shmuel, it's also Rabbi Akiva. Not only that, it could be that even Rabbi Eliezer, that we discussed at great length earlier yesterday, would hold that in the case of Bas V'Cholav, Yisr is Chal Yisr, because of the exception to the rule that's and it's derived from Gedi. So it's a little bit odd that the Gemara here is pushing for Ein Yisr Chal Yisr, that nobody, neither Rabbi Ami nor Rav Asi, would give him Malkus for Bas V'Cholav, for Achilas Bas V'Cholav. Achila Kuli Alma Lo Pligi the Lo Loki. There's no Malkus on Achila. Ki Pligi Abishol. What they're arguing about is on the Maisa Bishol. He took Chelev and he cooked it with Cholav. They gave him Asra for Bishol. Does he get Malkus? Now, what would be your, I'm just testing you, what would be your knee-jerk response to this question? Would you say he gets Malkus or he doesn't get Malkus? She should get Malkus. Why? Because the Ein Yisr Chal Yisr is only as far as Achil is concerned. In Chelev, there's no Yisr Bishol. You want to cook Chelev from now till doomsday, B'vakasha. So the Gemara says, Man Yom Aloka, Chad Isurahu. In other words, as far as Chelev and Cholav is concerned, there's only one Isur of Bishol. And that's by virtue of the fact that he's adding Cholav here. And he's violating the Isur Bishol Basim Cholav. So there's no application here, there's no Havamina to Shaykhis Ein Yisr Chal Yisr with regard to Bishol, because Chelev doesn't have an Isur Bishol. And now we're stuck with the other man, the Omar. And we're talking about Bishol, because on Achila everybody agrees you don't get Malkus, Ein Yisr Chal Yisr. Man the Omar ain't a loke, why shouldn't you get Malkus with Bishol? So the Gemara answers, Lahachi afke rachmona lachila beloshon Bishol. And this is a very, very, very fundamental breakthrough, I would say. We assume that Achila and Bishol are two independent lavin that apply to Bas V'Cholav. And now the Gemara is saying that would only be true if the Torah had said, number one, Lo Savashal Gedim Chalevim, or number two, Lo Solchal Gedim Chalevim. But that's not what it says. The Torah consistently repeats the word Bishol. And that's coming to tell you that Bishol is going to teach you Achila, and it is not a separate independent Iser, but rather the Iser Bishol
and the Isra Achila are two halves of a whole. They're two sides of one coin, which would mean that they must go together. When you have A, you have B. When you have B, you have A. But you can't have B. You can't have the absence of B and have A. Meaning, if you don't have Achila, then you don't have Bishul as well. Because the Torah is revealing to us that the Issa Bishul and the Issa Achila are one and the same. When I say one and the same, I mean, don't take me too literally, but I mean to say they are interdependent rather than independent. And now let's turn to Daf Kufyu Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says that according to this Ban Yom, you don't get Malkus on Bishul of Chela of Bechala because the Alachila came of the Alachila lo Loki, a Bishul Nami lo Loki. In other words, Bishul is a violation of the law of preparing a Chefza that will be Osir Bachila as Bishul, as a result of that Bishul. Now, in this case, the Chefza is Osir Bachila not as a result of the Bishul, independent of the Bishul, because it's Chelet. So there would not be an Isra Achila here as far as Basav Acholim is, because, well, therefore, if so factor, there's no Isra Bishul. Because the Isra Bishul is to prepare to create a Chefza that's Osir Bachila as Basav Acholim. So if he's not going to violate the Isra Achila, then he's not going to violate the Isra Bishul. Now, in the past, we've applied this rule without blinking to many, many cases. For example, let's say we excluded dam, and we said that dam, if you cook dam with basar, that's not considered. I'm sorry, start again. If you cook dam with cholav, that's not basar b'chol. So again, I would say it's not basar b'chol in achila, and it's not basar b'chol in bishul. Or, for example, a behemoth tomato, you have a non-kosher animal. Either you take its flesh, its basar, or you take its cholov, and you cook with the opposite. So you're not chayav for achila on such a thing. Again, you'll be chayav for behemoth tomato, but not for achila's basar b'cholov. I would say on the cooking, likewise, you're not chayav. Because if there's no isra achila in the schefza, there's no isra bishul. But you know, here at this point, we get into one of the most fundamental issues about Ein Isur Chal Isur. What does Ein Isur Chal Isur mean? Does it mean the second Isur is not Chal, period, it doesn't register? Or does it mean the second Isur is Chal, but you don't get Malchus? So that's actually a sugya in Masechta Yevamos on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis.
I can imagine Rovin raising that issue right now. What does it mean?
And this is a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. According to one of the two opinions, it's a separate din in Malkus. Ein Isur Chal Isur means you don't get Malkus for the second Isur, but the Isur is Chal. And both the first and the second as well are both Chal. Whereas according to the other Mandi Yomri, he says not only do you not get Malkus, but then the second Isur is not even Chal. And the Gemara says in Afkemina, when you say that the second Isur is Chal, according to that man, the Omar, but just he's alleviated of Malchus, so by Afkemina, what difference does it make if the second Isur is Chal? And the Gemara says in Afkemina, Lekovrom Ben Rishon Gemur, right, where you bury him. I remember learning this when I was 18 years old in a yeshiva called Yavne. Now this Gemara here would seem to indicate that Ein Isur Chal Isur means that the second Isur is not Chal at all. And that's why there's no Isur Bishul. Because again, if you were to hold that Ein Isur Chal Isur is only an Afkamina Gami Malkus, but the second Isur is Chal, then for sure he would be violating Bishul over here because he's creating a new Cheft, a new Isur of Achilas Basa B'chala. It's not enough that there's an Isur Chelev here to boot on top. He is grafting or piggybacking an Isur of Basa B'chala. And that's true even if you hold any Isur Chal Isur. And if there's an Isur Achila Basar B'Cholav here, albeit without Malkus, then we'll add the Isur Bishul, and that would be an Isur with Malkus. And all that, I think, would be logically correct, except for one problem, and that's the text, the language of the Gemara. If you take a look here on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the top line, the Gemara says, Kevan Dala Achila Lo Laki, Ah Bishul Nami Lo Laki. The Gemara puts all the emphasis here on Malkus, as if to say that Enoch Hinami, the second Isur, in this case Bas B'chov, would be Chal as an Isur, but there is no Malkus. And the Gemara is saying here that if you generate an Isur Achila without Malkus, as far as the Achila is concerned, then ipso facto, the Isur Bishul is without Malkus. So it's almost as if we're defining an Isur under two categories. There's one Isur which is called an Isur with Malkus, and there's another Isur which is an Isur without Malkus, and they're fundamentally different one from the other. And the nafkamina is going to be, if I hold the ein Isur chal Isur, means that you violate the Isur basar b'chol, but you don't get Malkus. It's a whole different kind of an Isur. And the nafkamina, the spin-off, is going to be the case of Bishul. So I'm just going to read you a few lines from the Prima Gadim. He writes here, Miloshana Gemara lo Laki, Mashma Shamavashal Over Balav, Elishalameda Meachila Sheino Lokal Kach, and therefore to the same extent you don't get Malkus for Achila in this case. That's you don't get Malkus for Bishul.
We're looking at this line. Keep it Achila lo Laki, Bishul Nami lo Laki.
The whole subject here is not Malkus. That's all we're dealing with.
But the violation of the Isur is
a full fledged violation of the Isur, but it's an Isur without Malkus, and that's a whole new entity. You know, by virtue of the fact that it's a lav, we should apply the chi of Malkus. The Torah is changing the nature of the lav and establishing that this lav doesn't generate Malkus. Well, that's a whole new entity of a lav. And therefore, if we're going to equate Bishul and Achila, then even as far as Bishul is concerned, we're going to end up with a Bishul which is an Isur lav but without Malkus. And that was not our intuitive understanding of this Gemara, but the Prima Gadim is medayikin from the Lashon of the Shas. So let's just go over. At this point, everybody agrees that you don't get Malkus for the Achila of Chelev and Cholav, because Ein Isur Chal al Isur. But the issue is, would you get Malkus for Bishul in this case? And one man the other says, why not? There's no problem with Ein Isur Chal al Isur with regard to Bishul. And the other man, the Omer, says no, because since there's no Malkus on Achila, therefore there's no Malkus on Bishul. Ika di Amri. Now we have the second approach. Bishul Kaliyamalo Pligi the Loki. Certainly would get Malkus for Bishul because there's no problem of Isur Chal Isur. There's no Isur Bishul in Chelev. Ki Pligi Achila. So now we get back into the issue of Isur Chal al Isur, because we're now wondering whether he gets Malkus if there was a Hasra for the Isur Achilas Basar B'Cholav, and he ate Basar B'Cholav. Is it Basar B'Cholav to generate Malkus? The easy way to go is to say, Ein Isur Chal al Isur. And again, Rabbosai, keep in mind that we're saying something very far-reaching. We're saying, not only Ein Isur Chal al Isur, but even in Basar B'Cholav we're going to apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal al Isur. Lafuki, those who would say that even though Ein Isur Chal al Isur, but Basar B'Cholav is the exception to the rule because of the extra Pasuk Gidi. So we're rejecting all of that. Uman Di Omer Loke, Lahochi Afke Rachmona Lachila B'Loshon Bishul, became the Abishul Loke, Achila Nami Loke. In other words, we have this equation between Bishul and Achila. And that we had already in the previous answer of the Gemara. But the question is, what schleps what? You know, which is the gorer and which is the nigrar? Until now we said that Achila is gorer the Bishul. Now we're flipping it around. And we're saying, look, the Torah uses the word Bishul, so that's the primary Isur. And if there's an Isur Bishul, then ipso facto there's going to be an Isur Achila. And that sets up Bishul as the Melamed, so to speak, and Achila as the Nilmad. But now what we're saying is that Basar B'Cholov is an exception to the rule of Ein Isur Chalitza, but not the way we said it until now based on the drash of Gidi, but rather based on the equation between Bishul and Achila, which tells me whenever there's Bishul, there is Achila. So keep in mind that until this time, until this point in the Gemara, we've been using the equation between Bishul and Achila Lakula to say that if there's no Achila because Ein Isur Chalitza, then there's no Bishul. Now we're using it Lachumra, and we're saying that even though, as far as Achila, we should have applied the principle of Ein Isur Chalitza, we're going to give Malchus for Achila. Why? Because he would get Malchus for Bishul. So there's no Machlokus that he gets Malchus for Bishul, in this case of Chelev and Cholav. But the issue is, would he get Malchus for Achila? Do we apply the universal principle of Ein Isur Chalitza so that there's no possibility of Isur Achila's possible Cholav in the case of Chelev? And the answer is, there's one man who says, well, you know what? I'm going to apply the equation between Bishul and Achila Chumra, and I'm going to say that wherever there is Bishul, there is Achila. And this is, you know, a very strange kind of structure, in a sense. You know, I can understand that we should define the Isur Bishul in terms of Achila. Why? Because Bishul sets up a Heftza, you know, creates something which now is also Achila. But to go the other way around and say that wherever there's Bishul is Mebelin is an Isur Achila, that seems conceptually to be very difficult, but it's textually advantageous because in the text of the Torah, what does the Torah say? It only mentions Bishul. So if it only mentions Bishul, we're going to derive Achila from Bishul, then whenever Bishul applies, then ipso facto Achila applies. He says the following, B'sefer Teferes Yaakov, okay, for that I'll take the tissue. Nobody said Gezuntheit, okay.
Yaakov, yeah. I was about to say.
All right. So he says the following, Shtei HaLashonos, according to both answers in the Gemara, the Torah is telling us that Bishul and Achila Tluyim Zebazeh. Elfi HaLishna, Kama, according to the first answer in the Gemara, is Yesh Lema Bishul Me'achila, meaning if there's no Achila, then there's no Bishul. And the reason for that is because it's not that the Achila is Tluya B'Bishul, but rather that Bishul is totally an Achila. As we said before, Bishul sets up an object, an entity, which is also Achila. And therefore, if there's no Achila, then ipso facto there's no Bishul. V'ilu HaLishna Basra, Soveres, Sheyesh Lomar Achila B'Bishul, which is very strange. And if there's Bishul, then ipso facto there'll be an Isur Achila. And why? Because the Torah uses the language of Bishul. So the Torah fundamentally identifies and defines this Isur as an Isur Bishul. V'afim Bishul v'lo Ochal Over, even though it's true that you get a separate violation of Malchus for Bishul, even if you didn't eat it, that Bishul is independent of Achila. But nevertheless, we're saying that no. That Bishul, although it's in a certain sense it's independent and it generates Malchus in and of itself, but nevertheless, it's also shedding a light on Achila, which is a derivative of Bishul, such that whenever there's Bishul, there's an Isur Achila as well. That's the Teferes Yaakov. The Ritva is a little bit bothered because he says that whenever you have an equation and you can use the equation either Lechumra or Lekula, we always go Lechumra. And that's a raya to the second Lishna that we just learned now, that where there is Bishul, there's an Isur Achila and you get Malchus for Achila. But the first Lishna says Lekula, that the equation between Bishul and Achila is going to tell me that where there is no Achila, there's no Bishul. That seems to undermine the universal rule of B'makom she'efshal ladun bein l'chumra bein l'kula donin l'chumra, which if I'm not mistaken
is a sugya Baba Kama about that, if I remember correctly. And anyway, he says the following: Shalashonos b'gemara savru shneim she'eni sechalis b'chol haTorah v'chein savru shekol she'ef shalodu l'chum l'ku l'donim l'chum v'nechleku. What is the machlokes? Eich yesh ladun kishaklolim elu sosrim zetzeh. Here we have a contradiction between two principles that apply in Shas. One is Eini Sechal al Isur, and the other is Donim L'chumra. So the first Lishnah says that what's more powerful, so to speak, or more primary and trumps is going to be the universal principle of Eini Sechal al Isur. So here it's going to be an exception to the rule of Donim L'chumra, and we're going to be Donim L'kula. Whereas the Lishna Basra holds that what's a more powerful principle in understanding the laws of the Torah is Ladun L'chumra. And even if Ladun L'chumra means we're going to have to suspend the principle of Eini Sechal al Isur, that's exactly what we're going to do, because Kol Hecha, whenever there's a possibility of Donim Bein L'chumra Bein L'kula, we're Donim L'chumra. But now I want to study with you the Chassam Sofer. He's trying to analyze again the Svaras HaMachlokas between the two Lashonos, because until now we said in the name of Tiferes Yaakov that the Machlokas is whether Bishul teaches us Achila or Achila teaches us Bishul, and in which direction you go. The Chassam Sofer wants to base his interpretation on a Rambam in Perek Tesvi, Hilchos Macholos Asuros. The Rambam actually addresses the following question: why did the Torah formulate the Isur Achila with a language of Bishul? I mean, why couldn't the Torah just say Lo Sochal? I mean, the Torah's not allergic to Lo Sochal. It says Lo Sochal many, many times in the Torah. So why did it say so in the case of Basar V'Chala? So the Rambam says the following: that the Torah wanted to prohibit Bishul, and the Torah did not have to go out of its way to prohibit Achila. Says the Rambam, why? May Achrisha Asra Torah Bishul. If the Torah prohibits Bishul, then how much more so is Achila? So Achila is more severe than Bishul. So the Rambam has this kind of a Kal Vachomer. Now the Kesef Mishnah gives two explanations to this Rambam. His first explanation is that Bishul is an independent Isur, and the Torah finds it repulsive to cook meat and milk together. Is Mimela, the Achila is also likewise Asur. Why? Because we have a general principle in Parashas Re'eh. It says, Lo Sochal Kol Toev. So if there's a to'eva in Bishul, then there certainly is going to be a to'eva in Achila. So the Torah didn't have to say Lo Sochlu, according to this understanding of the Rambam, because the Torah says Lo Sochal Kol To'eva. How do you know that the mixture of milk and meat is a to'eva? The answer is because the Torah says don't cook it together. So apparently it's a to'eva. That's the first explanation of the Kesef Mishnah. The second explanation is that the reason why, according to the Rambam, the Torah prohibited Bishul is because Bishul prepares and begins the Achila. So how much more so the Achila, if you have a preparatory stage, an introduction, how much more so is the Ikar that comes later on? So the Chassam Sofer says that there's an afkemina between these two explanations in the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam. And that would be in a case where there's no Iser of Achila. For example, if the achil itself, in the case of Chelev, is permissible because of Eini Sechal al Isur. If you go with the second explanation of the Kesef Mishnah, that the Isur Bishul is a hachana for achila, well, in a case where there's no Isur achila, ipso facto, there's no Isur Bishul. And that gives us the first Lishnah that we mentioned before. However, if you go with the Kesef Mishnah's first explanation, that Eino Chinami Bishul is an independent Isur, but the Torah through Bishul is revealing to us, it's a Gili Milsa, that this is Toeva, and now I'm going to apply the
the kol tovel lo sochlu to the achila of basar v'chala. He says that would give us the final conclusion, the following conclusion. So, according to this logic of the Kesef Mishnah's first explanation, yesh lesar bishul af b'makom shachila lo nesra, because bishul is an independent iser. And that's the machlokas here, the yisod machlokas between the two lishonos. The first lishna says that if there's no iser achila because of any sechal nisa, as we said before, then there's no iser bishul because bishul is only a preparation for achila. But according to the second lishna holds that even if there's no iser that's chal on the achila, nevertheless it gets malchus on the bishul. And the reason for that is because bishul is a separate, independent iser. Let me read it inside. He says, "Ula lishna shniya, afim ein iser chal al ha'achila loke al abishul kevich zeh iser b'fnei atzmo." Okay. Now we get to the third lishna. The ibayis ema. The Gemara wants to say that everybody holds that ein iser chal al iser, and everybody holds that for bishul, if you mevashel chelev b'cholav and you eat it, then for sure you get malchus on the bishul, and for sure you don't get malchus on the achila. So there is no machlokas here between Rav Avi and Rav Asi, because mara brachad and mara brachad v'lo pligi. Everyone was addressing a different question, and there's no machlokas at all. The one who says you get malchus, he's talking about bishul. And the one who says that you don't get malchus, he's talking about achila, and there's no machlokas. Basically, the Gemara asks a kasha from a brisa. It says, "Amavashal b'mecholav," which is a sugya unto itself, exactly what the status of mecholav is. But this brisa holds that mecholav is not considered cholav, and therefore potter. Dam should bishul b'cholav potu, because dam is not basar. Hatzamos vagidim akarnayim atlofim should bishul b'cholav potu, because none of the above are considered basar. These are the hooves and the bones and certain veins and sinews and horns. None of these are considered basar. However, and here's the punchline in this brisa. Something that's already osur, for example, it's pigul, which means you left the carbon chutzl zmano, or chutzl komo, vat nosar, vat tome, shebishlo v'cholav chayav. In other words, iser bosu v'cholav is chal on another iser. Now we just finished saying that everybody agrees that ein iser chal al iser. And if there is any iser lav for the achil in the case of chelev, it's only because the Torah calls it bishul, and on bishul you would be over. But certainly any iser chal iser applies even to basar v'cholav, and that's what we're seeing here in pigul noser tameh. But yet the brisa says chayav, so he's chayav for basar v'cholav, even though it was already osur in Torah's pigul noser tameh. So how do we justify this if you hold that even in the case of basar v'cholav, we apply the principle of ein iser chal al iser? So the Gemara answers, "Hai tana, the tana of this brisa sovar she iser chal al iser." So this brisa actually reflects the opinion that in general, in kol tar kul iser is chal al iser, we can apply that even to basar v'cholav, and that's going to be a machlokas tanoim. Now, in the Masifta here, there's a discussion which I don't think we're going to have time for now, but I'll just mention on this third lishna that says maro marchad maro chad lo pligi. He says that if you don't get malchus, they gave him a hasrofa basa b'cholov. They did not give him a hasrofa chelev, and therefore he doesn't get malchus at all, because he's monofshah. For achilas basar v'cholav, which they gave him a hasrofa, he's not going to get malchus because ein iser chal al iser. And for Chalev, he simply didn't get a Hasra. So the Prima Gadim asks, why didn't Rashi offer a different interpretation? That the Machlokas would be, even in the case where he got a double Hasra for Shnei Yisurim. And the question is, how many sets of Malkus does he get? One or two? Everybody agrees he gets one set of Malkus for violating Chalev. And the Machlokas would be, does he get a second set of Malkus for Basa B'Chol? Why did Rashi have to be dochek? He had to push himself that there was no asra for chelim. So the Prima Gadim offers the following explanation, and he says that since according to this man, the you get malchus for bishul. I mean, according to this lishna, I should say, everybody agrees to get malchus for bishul. It sounds like you're going to get one set of malchus. Because if you say Enolok, it means that on that Isa Bishul you don't get Malkus, or on the Isa Achil you don't get Malkus. And when it says Enolok, it sounds like he doesn't even get one set of Malkus. And Rashi says, why doesn't he get at least one set of Malkus for Chalev? The answer is they only gave Masra for Basa B'Chol. So just to summarize the third Lishna, both Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi agree that ain iser chalal iser, and there's no iser of chalev that's chal on top of the iser basa b'cholav. And in the second Lishna, let's go through it. According to the first Lishna and the last Lishna, everybody agrees that ain iser chalal iser. It's only in the middle Lishna that we have a machlokes about whether or not Basa B'Cholav might be the exception to the rule, and here we would apply the principle of Iser Chal Al Iser. But everybody agrees in Kol Tar Kula Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop. And tomorrow, Blinetta will try to add a little bit more to embellish this last sugya. And our goal would be tomorrow to get to the sugya of Mei Cholav. That's a sugya unto itself.